ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
हरे कृष्ण। टुडे मॉर्निंग वी आर रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 6 चैप्टर 2 चैप्टर एंटाइटल्ड अजामिल डिलीवर्ड बाय द विष्णु दूतास टेक्स्ट नंबर 29।
सोहं व्यक्तं पतिष्यामि नरके वृषदारुणे धर्मज्ञा कामिनो यत्र विन्दन्ति यमयातना।
ट्रांसलेशन। इट इज नॉट क्लियर दैट एज अ कॉन्सिक्वेंस ऑफ सच एक्टिविटीज a sinful person like me must be thrown into hellish conditions meant for those who have broken religious principles and must there suffer extreme miseries. Since there is no purport, we'll read text number 30 and 31 as well. Text number 30.
Kim idam svapna dhaho svit sakshad drishtam yadbutam kva yatha adyate maam Vakarshan Pashapanaya.
Was this a dream I saw, or was it a reality? I saw fearsome men with ropes in their hands coming to arrest me and drag me away. Where have they gone?
Text number 31. Atatekva gata siddhas chatvaras charu darshanam vyamochayan nyamanam Badva Pashir Adobhuva.
And where have those four liberated and very beautiful persons gone who released me from arrest and saved me from being dragged down to the hellish regions?
Purport by His Divine Grace Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada.
As we have learned from the descriptions in the fifth canto, the hellish planets are situated in the lower portions of this universe. Therefore, they are called Adobhuva. Ajamil could understand that the Yamdutas had come from that region. It is now clear that as a consequence of such activities, a sinful person like me must be thrown into hellish conditions meant for those who have broken religious principles and must there suffer extreme miseries.
One time, His Grace Shyam Sundar Prabhu was telling us in Pune Yatra, Srila Prabhupada's disciple, that during his initial days in Krishna consciousness in San Francisco, after some time, he received a letter from the government saying that he had to report to the prison because some past activities before becoming a devotee he had done, because of which he was supposed to go to jail. So when the letter came, he was very sad that he will be missing Prabhupada's association. So he went and told Prabhupada that Prabhupada had to go to jail. And he was surprised to see that Prabhupada didn't criticize or make fun or he didn't get angry. Prabhupada said, why you are going to jail? First Prabhupada said, oh, so it's not a big thing. Even Krishna was born in jail, no problem if you are going to jail. And then Prabhupada asked, but why are you going to jail? What happened? What did you do? He said, Prabhupada, I had some dealing with drugs and I have to go. Prabhupada said, that is okay. I was a pharmacist. I was also dealing with drugs. So it is not a big thing. So Prabhupada downplayed the whole thing. And then Shyam Sundar Prabhu went to the jail, but he was miraculously discharged. Then he came, and we know how history, we have seen how Shyam Sundar Prabhu was very instrumental in spreading the glories of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and inundating the whole European continent with Krishna consciousness and making Beatles devotees. And he was later on sharing a realization that if Srila Prabhupada had seen faults in devotees at that time, there would have been no chance for us to get the rare gift of Krishna consciousness. And this wonderful theme is also revealed in this episode that we are studying now, that Ajamil, he is full of faults. He has done all kinds of sinful activities.
But Vishnu Dutas, who are representative of the Lord, they are aghast and they chastise the Yamdutas in the first part of this chapter. That he is innocent. How can you take him? And volumes of sinful activity are completely, one is absolved of that if one simply chants once the holy name of Krishna. And how can such an innocent person be dragged? There is no justice. The Vishnu Dutas are lamenting like that. They consider him as a completely innocent person and a harmless person. So this is a very powerful theme that we see in this episode. And also another very instructive feature of a Vaishnava's life that is revealed in this particular section that we are reading right now is Ajamil's mood. And his mood is of sincere repentance. Like in the previous purport, Prabhupada also writes that and the duty of a devotee is to regret his past sinful activities in illicit sex, intoxication, meat eating and gambling. And Prabhupada says, not only should one give up his past habits, but must always regret his past sinful habits. This is the standard of devotional service, pure devotion. So, we see that one has to repent, one has to regret for all the sinful activities that he has committed. And in conditioned state, we might be exactly opposite of these two themes. Instead of repenting, we might always justify all the things that we do, wrong things that we do, even in devotional service. And secondly, rather than overlook the faults, we overlook all the good qualities of another person and only highlight some minor faults. Exactly opposite of what the Vishnu Dutas did. Therefore, Devamrit Maharaj was once saying that we are immediately able to catch something wrong that somebody does. So he was saying that devotees should catch people doing right things. We have to catch someone doing right. Oh, you've done a very good thing. Catch it and broadcast it. Therefore, these are two dynamic aspects of Krishna consciousness which is revealed in this episode that we are studying. And that is, a devotee is always repentant and the Lord, he completely ignores our external considerations and whatever activities we have done. So what a powerful combination this is, that this will make our journey to the spiritual world very blissful and very smooth. And actually, one can imagine if the Lord, instead of seeing this one good quality, we start seeing faults in us, what will happen to us? Like one devotee was saying, we should thank Krishna, if not for other benedictions, at least for one thing we should thank Krishna, that only he knows all our nasty desires. So therefore, if Krishna takes note of all that, then we have no hope in devotional service. So today we can briefly discuss a particular section from the Srimad Bhagavatam and if possible from the Chaitanya Charitamrit also, which describes this wonderful combination of a devotee having a repentant heart and at the same time the Lord completely ignoring external considerations and Lord being extremely eager to bestow his mercy upon a devotee. And this is revealed in Uddhava's remembrance of Krishna. Now this is very important because we often hear that Krishna is very eager to take, he is more eager to take us back home, back to God than we are eager to go. But we can see from history, from scriptures, that this is the Lord's greatest ecstasy to bestow unlimited mercy on a devotee who sincerely aspires to practice devotional service. So when Vidura approaches Uddhava and asks about Krishna, Uddhava goes into ecstatic raptures and he has a difficult time coming back to normal consciousness. Although his body has slackened due to old age, but his enthusiasm to serve has never slackened. And he is very, very excited and intensely remembers Krishna and he laments. And what does he repent? Durbhago bata loko yam yadavo nitaramapi yesam vasanto na vidur harimina ivodupam. Durbhago, I am most unfortunate. We are all most unfortunate because the world is now deprived of Krishna. Yadavo nitaramapi yesamanto na vidur. We could not know that it was Krishna, he is the Supreme Lord. We could have served him much better. We could have served him properly. But we didn't serve him. We took him for granted just like Harim Meena Ivodupam. Just like in the ocean of milk. The moon is born from the ocean of milk. But the fish in that ocean considers moon to be just another fish. That's all. He doesn't realize that this is a special personality. Similarly, we thought Krishna is just like us, another Yadava. We didn't realize that he has a special position. How unfortunate. Uddhava is actually one of the most intimate associates of Krishna. But he was not feeling that I am a special devotee. But he is lamenting that I could have served more. Many Srila Prabhupada disciples who even intimately served Prabhupada, they would later on lament after Srila Prabhupada left this world that we could have done so much for Prabhupada's service. We could have rendered so much service. So Srila Prabhupada clarifies here in this purport to Uddhava's lamentation that Uddhava is regretting, we should know, because of excessive love for Krishna. And this is one of the symptoms of viraha or suffering in separation. But what about us? We don't have that feeling of separation from Krishna. So what is our repentance? So the repentance that we should have, Prabhupada instructs us in Parikshit Maharaj's episode. Now Parikshit Maharaj is actually faultless. Prabhupada gives various reasons why that act which he did against Shamik Rishi was the act of Lord. It was not his fault. But still, what was Parikshit Maharaj's mood as he left that hermitage and came to his kingdom? He was not feeling that, yes, I have taught this sage a good lesson. Externally, if we see now what Parikshit Maharaj did, somebody might think, oh, this is such a proud act. But nobody knows what actually is thinking in the heart. Externally, it might appear that he has done something. But internally, Parikshit Maharaj was repenting. Mahipati stvatatat karma garyam vichintayanatma kritam sudurmana aho mayani chamanaryavat kritam niragasi brahmani guda tejasi aho maya nicham. I am most fallen. Karma garyam. I have done the most abominable activity. Anarya. I am uncivilized, uncouth person. Niragasi brahmani guda tejasi. I harmed an innocent person. He is the emperor of the whole planet. He is not accountable to anybody. But Parikshit Maharaj is sincerely repenting for what he has done. And Prabhupada writes in that purport that repentance is a sign of a good devotee. And then he says, he compares repentance to fire. Prabhupada says, just like fire burns off all dry grass, similarly, sincere repentance will burn off all the sinful activities and proclivities from our heart. Therefore, we can see that although externally he put a snake, but Parikshit Maharaj's mood was of sincere sorrow, shame, grief, guilt, remorse, and lamentation. He was simply lamenting. And we find all the acharyas also emphasizing on this point. In Madhurya Kandambini, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur gives a list of the 10 offenses and the atonement for all, most of the offenses, the main atonement is, he says, crying piteously, or repentance is the main atonement. And I was reading, Satswarup Maharaj writes in one place that it is spiritual poverty not to feel lowly and fallen. Generally, in material world, a person is poverty stricken if he doesn't have wealth and opulences. But in spiritual life, if a person doesn't feel that he is fallen and he doesn't repent, then he is actually poverty stricken. Srila Prabhupada was one time sitting with Tejas Prabhu, and one devotee who had fallen away came, and he was telling Prabhupada, "Prabhupada, I wanted to chant, but senses are so wild. I'm sorry, Prabhupada, I disappointed you, I let you down, I couldn't keep my vows." And he was simply repenting. And Tejas Prabhu observed that Prabhupada didn't chastise him, didn't ridicule him. Prabhupada was very grave, and there was a drop of tear in Prabhupada's eye. And Prabhupada simply said, "Just see how much this one soul is struggling to get Krishna." So Prabhupada was appreciating the fact that this devotee was sincerely repenting for his past sinful activities. Of course, simply repentance is not sufficient. We have to act like Parikshit Maharaj. He acted when he heard the curse. With determination, he left home. He expressed gratitude to all the sages. And in complete humility, he took shelter of the devotees and Harikatha. So therefore, simply repentance is not sufficient. One has to act on it. Like one time, in Prabhupada Meditations, in Volume 2, there's a very nice pastime, instructive pastime, about one devotee who would repeatedly fall down. He would come and beg from Prabhupada, "Prabhupada, please give your mercy." And then he would go back, again commit sinful activities, again come back. And Prabhupada was very angry when he came at another time, begging for mercy. And Prabhupada said, "No, I cannot give you mercy. Because you are so expert that you have outdone my mercy. I cannot give you any more mercy." And this devotee was crying. And at this time, for the first time, this devotee went and started crying to the other devotees. And all the other devotees consoled him and gave him assurance. And when Prabhupada got this news, he became very pleased. That first time, at last, this person has taken shelter of other Vaishnavas. And not simply repenting and continuing to commit sinful activities again. So therefore, mercy is there, but we have to grab it. I remember one time on devotee's birthday, he went to meet his spiritual master, and I was there, and his spiritual master blessed him, and this devotee said, "Maharaj, please keep showering your mercy." And Maharaj said, "Please keep receiving it." So the point is that the mercy is there, but simply if you do lip service in terms of repentance, we cannot access that mercy. Now, Uddhava is not simply repenting and lamenting. Along with this repentance, he is also intensely remembering Krishna. And he is remembering how Krishna is causelessly merciful, that he is ignoring volumes of sin. And then he chants this famous verse, which we've been hearing last 3 days. "Aho bakiyam stanakala kutam." He glorifies that how this putana who came to kill Krishna, Krishna gave her the position of a nurse in the spiritual world. Kamva dayalum sharanam raje ma. Who can be more merciful than Krishna? Who is more worthy of taking shelter than Krishna? And in that purport also, Srila Prabhupada concludes that purport with a very beautiful statement. He says, Krishna's quality is that he accepts least qualification and gives highest reward. And then Prabhupada says, this is the standard of Lord's character. This is Lord's character. Our problem is, we are not interested in character. We might be, at least I can speak for myself, we might be more interested in reputation and not character. Reputation is what the world thinks about us, and character is what we actually are. And much of our life is spent in trying to create a good impression that I'm a nice devotee, rather than actually becoming a devotee. And just like Krishna was causelessly merciful to such a person, we see even pure devotees, they are unlimitedly merciful. When Srila Prabhupada was in 26 Second Avenue, crazy hippies would come. And one such boy was Bill Epstein, who would come and would sit in front of Prabhupada during Prabhupada's lecture. And when Prabhupada would be giving a talk, he would keep a big blanket over his head and he would sleep and he would even snore in the class. And after Prabhupada would finish the class, Prabhupada would say, "Any questions?" And Bill would remove his blanket and he would raise his hand. And he would shout a question. After Prabhupada would answer, Prabhupada would say, "So are you satisfied?" And he would scream, "No, I'm not satisfied." All the devotees were irritated with him. But Prabhupada would say, "No, he's inquisitive, very good. He's asking questions." Then Prabhupada would again answer, this time more assertively, and would ask him, "Are you satisfied?" And his voice would become lower. He would say, "No." Then again Prabhupada would answer, and then assertively would say, "So are you satisfied now?" Then he would little fearfully say, "Yes." This would go on for many days. And whenever Prabhupada would start a kirtan, he would get up and very egoistically, in a very narcissistic way, he would dominate the whole, he would become the center of attention. And everybody was disgusted with him. But Prabhupada would make his eyes very big and he would say, "Oh, he's dancing just like Lord Chaitanya." Prabhupada would glorify him. And later on, he became serious because Prabhupada saw that this boy is giving all the money to Prabhupada and he's expressing a desire to serve. And then eventually he got initiation also. He went on to become Ravindra Swarup Prabhu, not the one we know of, the earlier Ravindra Swarup Prabhu. So Uddhava also is remembering this aspect of Krishna, that how Krishna is so merciful, that he's forgiving everything. And although Uddhava is repenting, but one very interesting thing is he's lamenting his misfortune, but also glorifying Krishna. This is also very important because generally we have a very wrong conception of humility. Many times we think that humility means just a barrage of words we just bombard a person with and keep expressing how fallen we are. But actually, that also, when we are simply talking about how fallen I am, that could simply be frustrated false ego. Because here again, the center is I am fallen, I am this. Therefore, Uddhava, his real humility is revealed by the fact that he is accepting his fallen condition, but is also at the same, on the same wavelength, is remembering Krishna and how glorious Krishna is. So both go hand in hand. And that's why he says, Tate vachanye naraloka vira eha have Krishna mukharavindam netre pibanto nayanabhiramam parthastraputa padamapurasya. Look at all the warriors on the battlefield of Kurukshetra. Yehave Krishna Mukaravindam. They all saw Krishna's beautiful lotus face when they were leaving their bodies. Netre pibanto nayanabhiramam. They were drinking beauty of Krishna through their eyes. Parthastraputa padamapurasya. And after being hit by Arjuna's arrows, they went back home, back to Godhead. Now, somebody might wonder, how can soldiers in the battlefield of Kurukshetra, they were against Pandavas, how can the dormant love for Krishna awaken in their hearts? So therefore, Prabhupada writes in the purport, the key word to remember here is the last line. Parthastra Puta. Puta means purified. Parthastra. Because they were first purified by Arjuna's arrows, they became qualified to see Krishna's face. So first, one has to get purified by coming in contact with the devotee. And therefore, we can never underestimate the importance of devotees in our life. And it is by their mercy that we can understand and get Krishna's mercy. When Jagannath Baladeva Subhadra appeared for the first time in ISKCON in San Francisco, devotees are bewildered. They didn't know. Because they had a tough time figuring out how Krishna is the Supreme Lord. And here Prabhupada had given them worship of Jagannath. So one devotee was explaining that during those days, they wrote one letter to Prabhupada. Prabhupada, you are telling us to worship Jagannath, he is the Lord of the universe. But can you explain to us how he is Lord of the universe? But we are doing it nicely because you have told us. And if realization is that we had no love for Krishna, but we knew that Krishna happens to be the worshipable Lord of Prabhupada, so we should also worship Krishna. So eventually, they also got purified and they rendered wonderful devotional service. So Uddhava then laments that these warriors and these demons, they are better than me because I might not remember Krishna when I am leaving this body. But they are also great. So it's a wonderful, wonderful combination. He's lamenting, at the same time he's glorifying Krishna. Therefore one can imagine that if Krishna is so forgiving and merciful to even demoniac people, how can we be judgmental and about somebody who is already a practicing devotee and who is doing wonderful devotional service? Another episode that we can learn from is from the Antalila of Chaitanya Charitamrita. This pastime took place when Rupa Goswami left Jagannath Puri and he went to Bengal. And at the same time, Sanatan Goswami was coming from Vrindavan on the order of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to meet Lord Chaitanya at Jagannath Puri. So while coming, he fasted for many days and one time he drank contaminated water from the well and he got a very terrible skin disease. His whole body was filled with boils and blood and all foul smelling, horrible substances were oozing out of those boils. And he had a lot of itching sensation. His body had become terrible. So then he began to think, what is the use of my body? I'm going to Jagannath Puri. I can't do any practical service. Anyway, I will not enter the Jagannath temple. And my life is full of offenses. So, what should I do now? And then he got an idea. He said, I've got a brilliant idea. When I see Lord Jagannath during Rath Yatra, I will throw my body under the cart, I'll give up my life, then next life I'll get a better body, then I will be able to probably render better devotional service. So with this thought he came to Puri, he came to Siddha Bakul, met Haridas Thakur, and then at that time Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came. Both of them offered obeisances. And Haridas Thakur said, my dear Lord, Sanatan has come. and Lord saw Sanatan Goswami. And the Lord had no expression of feeling a little disturbed by seeing this condition. With great joy, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went to embrace Sanatan Goswami. And immediately, Sanatan Goswami, he began to withdraw.
More na chuhiya prabhu padon to mar pai ek nicha jati adama kandura sa gai.
Please don't touch me, my lord. I fall at your feet again and again. Because first of all, I am nicha jati. I am from the most abominable caste. And on top of it, kandura sa gai. My body is simply emitting foul smelling horrible substances. So don't come near me. But what did Lord do? Lord ignored Sanatan's plea. And forcibly caught him.
Balatkare prabhu tandre alingana koila kandu kleda mahaprabhu shriyanga lagila.
So with force, Mahaprabhu grabbed him and embraced him, and all those pus and blood from Sanatan Goswami's body, it was now rubbing on Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's golden complexion, beautiful body. And then Mahaprabhu asked about the devotees in Mathura, and then Sanatan Goswami began explaining to Mahaprabhu. Then Mahaprabhu spoke about Anupam, who left his body and went back to the spiritual world. And then, after talking like this, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told Sanatan Goswami and Haridas Thakur that both of you are expert in relishing Krishna Rasa, so you stay here together at Siddha Bakul, always keep talking about Krishna. And Mahaprabhu would always get Uppal Bhog offering from Jagannath's temple. And he told Sanatan Goswami that, I know you are so humble, you would never dare to enter, but you can see the chakra of Jagannath. This is not different from Lord Jagannath. And Lord would get prasad for Sanatan Goswami and Haridas Thakur. And Prabhupada writes there that Sanatan Goswami is so humble that he would never attempt to go inside Jagannath's temple. But Lord Jagannath, in the form of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, would come personally to give prasad and darshan to Sanatan Goswami. After some days, Mahaprabhu would come every day, and Mahaprabhu, because of the Supreme Lord, he knew that Sanatan had this desire to give up his body. And Mahaprabhu, without any provocation, one day told Sanatan Goswami that, my dear Sanatan, give up your foolish idea of giving up this body and just chant and do service.
Na sadyate mam yogo na sankhyam dharma uddhava na svadhyayas tapastyago yata bhaktir mamorjita.
I cannot be obtained by rigorous sadhana or yoga or sankhya or practicing of religion, not by swadhyay. Krishna is telling Uddhava in the 11th canto, only by bhakti I can be obtained. So quoting this, Mahaprabhu told Sanatan Goswami that this idea of yours is in the mode of ignorance, because if I can get Krishna by committing suicide, I will commit suicide millions of times. And then Mahaprabhu said, but if you are so desperate, you are feeling so much separation from Krishna that you want to commit suicide, then by your desperation Krishna will appear. And gave the example of Rukmini. And then Mahaprabhu told him, just chant and do service. And Sanatan realized that Mahaprabhu doesn't approve of my idea of committing suicide. So what should I do? But then he confessed to Lord.
Nicha dama pamar mui pamara swabhav more jiya ile tomar kibahabela.
Oh my Lord, I am nicha, adama and pamar. I am most fallen, degraded, and I have horrible habits. But if I live, more jiyaile tomar kibaho bela, what will be any use to you? I will not be of any use to you. That is why let me commit suicide. And immediately the Lord replied,
Prabhu kahe tomar deha mora nijadan, tumi more kori ache atma samarpan.
The Lord said, your body is my property because you have surrendered to me. And through your body, I want to fulfill many things. Because I cannot go to Mathura and Vrindavan because I promised my mother that I will be in Jagannath Puri. Now all those things I want to fulfill through you. I want you to act as the instrument. I want you to excavate holy places, build temples, preach, tell the world what are the qualities of a Vaishnava, how a sadhu should behave. And then Mahaprabhu turned to Haridas Thakur and said, look at this Haridas, do you agree with this nonsense idea? that he wants to commit suicide. And Haridas Thakur said, "Oh my Lord, we are all useless. Unless you tell us what to do, we will never know. Please instruct us." And Mahaprabhu, again, very happily, seeing Sanatan's humility, embraced him. Sanatan Goswami said, "Kashtera putali ena koke na chai, apane na jane putali kiba na che gai." We are all simply wooden dolls, my dear Lord. You simply make us dance the way you want. And Mahaprabhu again embraced Sanatan Goswami. And Haridas Thakur was simply weeping in great ecstasy to see the mercy that Sanatan Goswami is receiving. And after Lord went, Haridas Thakur began to glorify Sanatan. That the Lord wants to fulfill all his desires through you. So you are the most fortunate person. But look at me, I am most fallen, I am sinful. Haridas Thakur lamented. And Sanatan Goswami said, "No, you are actually the most fortunate because the Lord has incarnated to spread the holy name and he is doing it through you. You are chanting 3 lakh names every day. Some people they behave nicely, but they don't preach. Some people preach nicely, but they don't behave well. But you are an expert preacher." So, like that, he glorified him. And this, like this, they would spend days together talking about Krishna. And one day, Mahaprabhu called Sanatan Goswami to the Amala Gardens for Prasad. And Sanatan Goswami, he didn't go through the Sinhadwar route, which was a shorter route, but he went through the longer route. And it was the month of Jyeshtha, hot sun, and the sand was very hot on the beach. So he went through that beach route, and his feet were completely blistered. Mahaprabhu saw that and asked him, "Why did you come through the Sinhadwar route?" And Sanatan said, "That if I come through that route, the pujaris of Jagannath are going in and out and they will see me. And that will be a great offense on my part because if they see me, they will get contaminated. I am so fallen." So this was his mood. And Mahaprabhu became ecstatic to see his humility of Sanatan Goswami. "Yadyapi ho tumi hao jagata pavan, tomas parshe pavitra hoya devamuigan." Sanatan, you are thinking that you will contaminate, but my verdict is that even the great demigods and great sages get purified by coming in contact with you. "Tatapi bhakta swabhav maryada rakshan, maryada palana hoya sadura bhushan." But I am happy that you are following the Vaishnav etiquette. You are always in this mood of humility. Because maryada palan hoya sadura bhushan. The ornament of a sadhu is to perfectly follow the Vaishnava etiquette and to have this mood of a Vaishnava. And that is Sanatan Goswami's mood, that he is not a devotee. And then Sanatan Goswami was lamenting that every day Mahaprabhu is coming and embracing me. So he went and finally confessed to Jagadanand Pandit. And he said, "My dear Jagadanand Pandit, this is what is happening. I came here for my purification, but I'm only committing more and more offenses because Lord is embracing me. What should I do? I'm helpless. My body is sinful. But why should my body be touched by Lord Chaitanya?" So Jagadanand Pandit, with all good intentions, advised Sanatan Goswami that Lord has instructed you already to go to Vrindavan, so you go to Vrindavan. And Sanatan Goswami said, "Oh, this is a good idea." And next day when Mahaprabhu came again to embrace, again Sanatan went back. "Sanatana bhagi pache korena gaman, balatkara dhari prabhu kaila alingan." Again Sanatan Goswami is going back. Again Mahaprabhu had long arms. He again grabbed Sanatan Goswami and embraced him. And then he said, "I am nicha jati, I am papasha, I am full of pap. And if you touch me, my Lord, that will be the great aparad on my part." So like this he was lamenting. And then he told Mahaprabhu that, "My dear Lord, please order me to go to Vrindavan. And let me go there because you have already instructed me." And Lord Chaitanya said, "Why do you want to go to Vrindavan?" And he said, "Jagadanand Pandit, I have consulted him. And he is my well-wisher. He has given a good advice. He is a sinner devotee. So I am going to Vrindavan." So immediately Chaitanya Mahaprabhu became furious. And he said, "Kalikara Bhattuya Jagga Oiche Garvi Hoila, Toma Sabare Upadesha Korite Lagila." "Who is this impudent neophyte Jagga?" Mahaprabhu shouted. "He is simply proud. You are fit to be the spiritual master of the whole universe. You are my advisor. How can Jagadananda advise you?" And like this, Mahaprabhu chastised Jagadananda Pandit. And seeing this, Sanatan Goswami became very sad. He said, Today I realize that I am the most unfortunate person. Apanara asaubhagya aji oila gyan jagate nai jagadananda samabhagyavan. Today I realize that I am the most unfortunate person because you are simply glorifying me. And I realize that Jagadananda is the most fortunate because Jagadananda piyao atma yata sudaras more piyao gauravastuti nimba nishindaras. You are feeding him the rasa of your chastisement, which is your most intimate mercy. But to me, you are feeding gauravastuti ras. You are simply glorifying me, which is as bitter as nimba fruit. It is very bitter. So you are glorifying me. And he began to cry. And then Mahaprabhu said that, no, Sanatan, don't think like that. Actually, you are most dear to me. I am simply angry because how can Jagadananda instruct you? So like this, Mahaprabhu glorified Sanatan Goswami. And then Mahaprabhu said, I never feel that your body is abominable. Because I should not discriminate. I am a sannyasi. I am supposed to treat everyone equally. And Haridas Thakur immediately said, no, my lord, this is simply a formal reply you are giving. This is not the reason why you are embracing Sanatan every day. You are actually embracing because you are causelessly merciful to us. We are both very fallen. But because you are unlimitedly merciful, you are doing this. So this is very instructive because Sanatan Goswami and Haridas Thakur would always consider themselves as not qualified to be Vaishnavas. And in that purport, Prabhupada quotes Bhaktivedanta Sarasvati Thakur, who explains the consciousness of a devotee. He quotes from Kalyana Kalpaturu. Bhaktivedanta Thakur writes, Amito Vaishnava e buddhi hoile amanina hobe ami pratishtasa asi hrudaya dushibe hoibe niraya gami. Amito Vaishnav, if a person thinks I am a Vaishnava, if this buddhi he has, amanina hobe ami, he will never desire that I should come to a stage when I should not have any respect. He will only have pratishta asha asha. He will have only desire for pratishta. And ohibe nirayagami. He is certainly destined to go to hell. So a devotee should never think he is a Vaishnava. He should never aspire for respect. Bhaktivinoda Thakur writes like this. And we can see one time, Srila Prabhupada was going for his morning walk from Vrindavan temple, Krishna Balaram temple. And there was an elderly brahmachari who had joined. And he would not offer obeisances to Prabhupada. And on this particular day also, as Prabhupada came out, he was watering tulsi plant. That was his service. He was watering. And Arishwari Prabhu told Prabhupada, see Prabhupada, he never offers you obeisances. And Prabhupada was completely indifferent. Prabhupada said, so it's okay. And then immediately Prabhupada said, just see how he is watering the tulsi plants. Very nicely he is watering every day. You should all learn from him how to water tulsi plant. So Arishwari Prabhu's realization that Prabhupada was free from this desire to want name and fame. And then Bhaktivinoda Thakur writes in the next stanza, Nija Sreshta Jani Uchishtadi Dane Obeyabi Mana Bhara Tai Shishya Tava Takiya Sarvada Nalai Be Puja Kara. If a person thinks I am Sreshta, I am good, what he will do? Uchishtadi Dane. He will think I should give my food remnants to others. And when he does that, obe abhimana bhara, a great burden of abhiman, pride is on his head. And his life is simply a life of mental self-glorification. He's always thinking how I am special, how I am good. Therefore, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, in the mood of a devotee, is saying, struggling devotee is saying in that mood, that please accept me as a disciple and make me humble. And that's why Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, in a later part of Antalila, he explains this mood of a devotee. Premera swabhava yaha, premera sambandh, sei mane krishna mora nahi premagand. The quality of Krishna prem, premera swabhav, is that sei mane krishna mora, that I am not a devotee. And krishna mora nahi premagand, I don't even have a drop of love for Krishna. This is the consciousness of a devotee who is actually experiencing intimate love for Krishna. So like this, Haridas Thakur is now telling the Lord that, my Lord, this is not the actual reason why you are embracing Sanatana Goswami. You are causelessly merciful and we are not Vaishnavas. And Mahaprabhu said, no. You want to know the real reason why I embrace Sanatana Goswami every day? Because I find his body extremely wonderful. The perfection of the eyes is to see a Vaishnava. Perfection of the body is to embrace another Vaishnava. Tomar deha tumi kara bibatsa gyan. Tomar deha amar lage amrita saman. You are thinking your body is bibatsa, horrible. But for me, amrita saman. Your body is like nectar. Just like a mother never feels that the urine and stool of her child is abominable. She finds it very nice because she is cleaning her baby. Similarly, I find your body as fragrant as chatushama, as a mixture of sandalwood, camphor, saffron. So like this, Mahaprabhu glorified Sanatan Goswami. And then Mahaprabhu said that one should never discriminate on the bodily level. This is all manodharma, that this is good, this is bad. And then again Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went to embrace Sanatan Goswami. Sanatan Goswami ran behind. But this time Mahaprabhu forced him. And as soon as Mahaprabhu embraced Sanatan Goswami, all those boils and everything disappeared from his body. And Haridas Thakur began to cry, "This is your mercy, this is your pastime, my lord. You only caused Sanatan to get these boils, and by your mercy, you have purified him of all contamination." So like this, we see that in Chaitanya Charitamrita, we have these wonderful pastimes of the Lord, which actually give us a standard for all Vaishnavas, how to lead our daily life, for deity worship, or is prasadam serving, or whether it is preaching, or appreciating Vaishnavas. There is a wonderful lesson for us in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. But in our conditioned state, our problem is, we might have a holier-than-thou attitude. We might think that I am better. And our focus will not be to practice this Vaishnava lifestyle. And we sometimes have this mood that I am a self-proclaimed conscience keeper of this community. I can say anything because I am doing it in the interest. So one has to be very introspective, honestly introspective. And therefore, Radha Gopinath Prabhu was yesterday saying that for Kali Yuga, it's very difficult because it's an age of quarrel and hypocrisy. And for us to understand humility, he said, virtue of humility is to love others for what they are despite all the differences. And he was quoting his Holiness Radhana Swami Maharaj also, who explained that we judge Vaishnavas from the external point of view. And he said, if we judge externally, it is simply a sign of three things. Insecurity, we are insecure about our own devotional service. Immaturity and egotism. And the solution, Bhaktivedanta Saraswati Thakur writes in Lord Chaitanya's teachings that the solution is also threefold for this kind of judgmental behavior. He says one should be patient. One should know that people have faults sometimes. So one should be patient. And one should be introspective and see faults in one's own self. Because the nature of the mind is to see faults, but Krishna has given us intelligence, and the purpose of intelligence is to see the positive things in devotees. And one letter Srila Prabhupada writes to Aitreya Rishi Prabhu, he had asked about this, that I'm seeing faults in devotees, and Prabhupada writes there 4 points how to deal with this tendency. First, Prabhupada says, we should expect problems in material world. There will be problems. And nobody, you should also know that nobody is perfect in the material world. And second, immediately, you should see our own faults. And thirdly, see the good qualities in that devotee. And fourth, which is very interesting, Prabhupada says, this is very good that he has faults, he has differences, because that means we are not Mayavadis. That means there is no Maya. Maya theory is bogus. There is variety. Spiritual life means variety. There will be differences. So Prabhupada was hinting at celebrating the differences, that there is variety in Krishna consciousness and we should appreciate devotees. Srila Prabhupada's very famous morning walks were with Dr. Patel from Juhu. And Dr. Patel was actually becoming irritable for devotees because he would accompany Prabhupada on walk, but he was a very boisterous person. He would dominate the conversation. And even before Prabhupada could complete his sentence, he would bombard. And devotees, there was a friction between the devotees and Dr. Patel, and devotees were telling Prabhupada, Prabhupada, he doesn't understand. You explained to him so many times, but he interrupts you and he keeps talking Mayavad. Prabhupada kept smiling. Prabhupada said, okay. And on this particular morning walk, a very interesting thing happened. Prabhupada was chastising Dr. Patel. They are having a conversation. And during that conversation, one of Dr. Patel's friends, who was also coming for the morning walk, he started explaining that Jnana Yoga, Karma Yoga is also as good as Bhakti Yoga. And immediately Dr. Patel said, Prabhupada, with your permission, I would like to answer his question. And everybody was surprised. Dr. Patel? And then Dr. Patel started saying,
Oh, this is bogus. Mayavad theory is bogus. And he explained Brahman realization, Paramatma, Bhagavan. And all the devotees were surprised. Dr. Patel is always arguing with Prabhupada, but he is explaining perfectly philosophically. And then Prabhupada smiled and looked at all the devotees and said, my teacher used to say in school that one who is slow in understanding will also be slow to forget. And somebody is very quick to understand might also be very quick to forget. So Dr. Patel is learned and he will never forget. And Prabhupada glorified Patel. And then Dr. Patel criticized Indira Gandhi because she had imposed emergency rule. And again Harishwari Prabhu noted Prabhupada's amazing quality of seeing positive. He again glorified her. He said, no, she has spiritual inclination. She has just spoken in Chandigarh that she wants to emphasize on spirituality. But she is a nice lady. And we see earlier also, Mohandas Gandhi, whom Prabhupada tried to preach so much, and he refused to even respond to Prabhupada's letters, but after he left this world, and for Mahatma Gandhi Memorial Fund, Prabhupada writes a letter and glorifies Mahatma Gandhi for having opened a Radha Krishna temple in Noakhali, which was actually a side thing that Mahatma Gandhi did, and he is not known for that. But Prabhupada said, no, he wanted to give Radha and Krishna. So we should, in honor of him, spread Hare Krishna movement. So all the funds should be used for congregational chanting of Hare Krishna. So Prabhupada had this mood. Therefore we can see that as revealed yesterday by Zurinath Radhana Swami Maharaj, that through the example of Stoka Krishna Prabhu, that it is ultimately our aspiration and ideals that we strive for that are more important than simply our achievements in devotional service. Because when we know that each devotee has his own unique struggle and problems, and devotee is explaining that every devotee has his own reporting to do to Krishna. So considering all that, we have to be sensitive to others' needs and not find faults. And as revealed in this pastime of Sanatana Goswami, Mahaprabhu saying that we have to follow Vaishnava etiquette and understand that a devotee is very precious. One time one devotee left the movement, actually didn't leave, but he committed a big blunder. A lot of money he had wasted. And then he didn't turn up for many days. So Prabhupada got the news. Prabhupada asked, where is he now? Harishwari Prabhu said, Prabhupada is feeling very embarrassed that he's wasted so much money. So now he has left. And he's saying that I will make millions of dollars and then come back, because I want to make up. Prabhupada said, okay, he may make millions of dollars, but my concern is he should not be lost. Money is lost, but he should not be lost. I want one soul saved. That is more important than millions of dollars. So given this mood of Srila Prabhupada, it is very important to nurture and protect devotees' faith and not simply, as they say, give a dog a bad name and hang it. Oh, you have done this? So therefore, when you render devotional service sincerely with this consciousness, with the desire to serve Vaishnavas, knowing that each Vaishnava is a pearl, as Bhaktivedanta Saraswati Thakur said, that many people have mistaken a pearl for a pebble, a snake for a rope, and a devotee for a demon, like that he explains. He says, we should not rely simply on apparent sight. So when we have this mood, the community of Vaishnavas can grow and flourish. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Prabhuji, you are mentioning that how one should not see faults in devotees. And also, you said one point that one should be tolerant. One should have patience. And every devotee is like a gem. And my question was that what if one sees faults in the terms of that devotee offending other devotees or creating problems for other devotees? His actions are creating problems for other devotees. Yes, so from your point of view, you're seeing faults and then you go and try to see faults in yourself. But at the same time, you see that because of that one person, many others are also effective and it is very clear. So then what do you do? Do you just go and see faults in yourself or you take some action?
It's actually an offense to keep quiet and not do anything about it. But if we discuss amongst those people who can't make any difference to the situation, then that is simply prajalpa. And that is not going to solve the situation. But if we discuss this problem with some authorities who can make a difference to the whole situation, then that is service to the Vaishnavas. Because you are preventing or you are helping in solving the problem. This is my understanding. Shri Prabhupada ki jai, Granthashrimad Bhagavatam ki jai.